Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The sequence of events is all too familiar in the coal mining country of Appalachia. The accident deep underground, the hours of anxious waiting, then the recovery of the victims' bodies. Seven bodies were brought to the surface today at a coal mine in eastern Kentucky, hours after an explosion late yesterday. And Wyatt Andrews reports that union officials are angry about the probable cause.
The United Mine Workers Union is upset with the continued use of a type of mining called solid shooting, where miners pack dynamite into holes drilled within horizontal sheets of coal. The seven miners who died were solid shooting, 1,400 feet into the side of a mountain. Now investigators have to find out what caused the massive detonation which killed them. United Mine Workers President Sam Church said solid shooting mining should be regulated or outlawed, especially considering a similar explosion which killed eight miners 6 weeks ago.
I don't like this type of mining. I think it is probably the most unsafe type of mining. And we must strongly consider looking at the law in Kentucky to see what we can do about this.
This was not just a mining disaster, but a family tragedy as well. The family-owned mine had only eight employees, seven of which were killed. Three of the men who died were brothers. A fourth man was their nephew. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Lexington, Kentucky.
Union President Church, Governor John Y. Brown, and Kentucky Mines and Minerals Commissioner Willard Stanley all have promised immediate investigation of mine safety in Kentucky. If there's anything you want to know about snow today, ask the hard-pressed denizens of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and other parts of the Upper Midwest. They are experts on the subject, as we hear from Stephanie Borden of Station WCCO.
Just hours after a record dumping of snow, the Upper Midwest is gearing for another major winter storm, bringing heavy snow and blizzard-force winds into the area. Daytime highs will stay below freezing, where they've been since the first day of winter 1 month ago today. Snow emergencies are in effect today as the Twin Cities Army of Snowplows tackles the 17.1-inch snowfall. Classes have been canceled for thousands of school children. Many day shifts have been called off. This storm melts the 1940 Armistice Day blizzard off the record books of the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities. John Graff is chief meteorologist.
Indications are that a snowfall record at this particular time is going to be very, very difficult to beat. I feel it's going to be on the record books for a long time.
The coming storm, says Graff, could be just like the one we're digging out from this morning. Stephanie Borden for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Snow and hail hit the San Francisco region yesterday, and it's snowing right now in the New York metropolitan area. In advance of the Saturday deadline set by the Auto Workers Union and its president, Douglas Fraser, early contract talks were broken off yesterday between the union and General Motors Corporation. Ned Potter has the story in Detroit.
There was insufficient progress, said Douglas Fraser. We just made the decision that there's no point in sitting here any longer. The auto companies had counted on these talks to bring them the savings in labor costs that would help them through their slump. Now, with negotiations stalled, GM's chief negotiator, Alfred Warren, said the company had been holding off on some plant reductions while waiting to see what the talks might produce. Something will have to be done to help the industry, said Warren. We can't wait.
You already know and have seen the sales figures, and you know that they are deteriorating. We need to respond to that very, very quickly in some manner.
The UAW may respond on Saturday. That is when its decision-making councils meet in Washington. They may decide to send Fraser back to the bargaining table. The union has a stake in this, too. 200,000 workers are now on permanent layoff, and GM's chairman has warned that without concessions, there may be more. Ned Potter, CBS News, Detroit.
President Reagan had been planning to visit Baltimore this morning for a personal inspection of that city's urban development centers, but the trip was canceled because of snow. Last night, the President and Mrs. Reagan, together with Vice President and Mrs. Bush, attended a gala party in Washington celebrating the first anniversary of the Reagan administration. Bill Plant was there.
Most of those present were big contributors to the Republican Party, and they responded enthusiastically to the President's call for continued effort to achieve his goals.
The days of sensational quick victories are mostly behind us. And now we move from the glamour of initial commitment to the grit of the long haul.
As he has often in recent days, Mr. Reagan blamed the recession on the policies of the past and said it would go away if his administration succeeded in getting control of what he called the budget monster. Despite his warning that there are rough political times ahead, the president obviously enjoyed this anniversary, And as he finished, he assured the audience that he and his wife like being in the White House.
In case you've wondered, Nancy and I are happy in our work. Thank you all.
Bill Plant, CBS News, Washington.
Administration sources say the president has decided on the fiscal 83 budget plan that calls for higher excise taxes on cigarettes, hard liquor, wine, but not beer, and possibly not gasoline either, plus higher excise taxes on long-distance telephone calls and some luxury items, and the transfer of many social programs to the states. Sources say the plan envisions an 83 budget deficit of $75 billion. Mr. Reagan is expected to outline his major budget proposals in his State of the Union address to Congress next Tuesday. For the 25th time, the United States has exercised its veto in the UN Security Council. It happened yesterday when the United States killed a resolution that would have condemned Israel for its annexation of the Golan Heights and would have paved the way for stiff sanctions against the Israelis. Richard C. Hottlett has details.
Ambassador Gene Kirkpatrick denounced the resolution as an aberration, even a perversion of the Council's primary function under the UN Charter to protect and restore peace. In fact, she said, the Council made things worse in the Middle East with, quote, vicious exchanges about repression and aggression, increasing tension between those who have to make peace. Kirkpatrick then broadened her rebuke of the Council.
In the more than a month since the massive, brutal repression of the people of Poland got underway, there has been no mention here of the violation of their human rights, of the violations of the United Nations Charter, the Helsinki Final Act, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that have occurred there.
She expressed U.S. solidarity with the people of Poland as well as those of the Golan, affirming, as she put it, the commitment of my government to work for the rights of all peoples currently denied freedom, self-determination, and self-government. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Arab delegates may ask for an emergency session of the UN General Assembly, perhaps as early as next week, to consider Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights.
Newsbreak. America's mid-generation, according to an advertising survey, looks like it's becoming a me-generation. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The study was conducted to find out how 25 to 49-year-old people feel about where they're going in the next decade, and what was determined is that there's a shift in attitude. As the report puts it, it's as if someone proclaimed, you really can't help the country, you might as well help yourself. More in a minute.
Here, speaking for your nearby Pip Instant Printer,
Steve Allen
and Jane Meadows.
Guess who discovered the Pacific Ocean? I did. No, that was Balboa. I discovered Pip While You Wait Printing years ago. Pip, where people do make the difference. They're printing professionals. Say, Jane, what are you carrying?
Copies of my new manuscript.
Your new manuscript?
You're not the only writer in the family, darling.
Last night I was walking my dog when suddenly he breaks away and runs into the street. A truck was heading right for him. Boy, was I scared. But thanks to his heart's reflecting collar, the truck stopped in time. The driver saw the collar glow before it was too late.
Protect your dog or cat right now with the Hearts 2-in-1 Plus Nighttime Safety Reflecting Collar. The first flea and tick collar that reflects oncoming car headlights and kills fleas and ticks for 5 months. The Hearts 2-in-1 Plus Reflecting Collar. Now the Hearts Flea and Tick Killer can be a lifesaver.
America's middle age group has the money to spend, and advertisers are very interested in learning how they plan to spend it. The new survey was conducted by Doyle Dane Bernbach. Dr. Ruth Ziff is DDB's research director.
It's a survey of their values and their worries. We were talking to 25 to 49-year-old people in 20 cities across the country. This does not include the rural population.
Most basically, the more affluent see a brighter future. The middle-income people expect things to stay about the same, but for the less affluent, the decade ahead looks bleak.
We found that those at the who are earning the lesser incomes today have, during the past year, decreased their optimism about what the future holds for them. That's not true for the upper income group. Now, certainly that's a reflection of some of the things that have happened over the last year in our economy.
There's a shift in attitude towards social responsibility also. Less willingness to make personal sacrifices, less concern about the environment, things like that. Does it mean we're becoming a selfish society?
Well, I think there is some indication of that here in the sense of people saying they're less willing to sacrifice for society. I have to, however, caution that a year ago we did have more of an oil crisis. We did have this situation in Iran, which caused us to, as a nation, I think, to focus more, a little more on our national needs than on our personal needs.
Is that trend toward personal satisfaction worrisome?
It's not that we have lost our interest in our society or our interest in the environment and in pollution. It's just that there's been a lessening over the last year. That people are saying they're less willing to sacrifice, that they don't feel it's as necessary to conserve energy. They don't feel it's as necessary to walk rather than ride and things of that nature.
So, in the somewhat self-interested view of the advertising world, what have we revealed about ourselves in the new study?
The trend toward self-fulfillment and wanting to have, and the focus on oneself that we are seeing in here, I think that is going to continue unless something drastic happens in our society which causes us all to say we must give up ourselves and our own personal desires for the sake of that society.
And now, this message.
Thursday night, don't miss the new NBC television series, Fame. It's about talented kids and caring teachers, about growing up, which is tough.
It's lonely at the top, but it's no bed of roses in the middle either.
And making it, which is tougher.
I think you're just trying to scare me.
You bet I am, and I hope it's working for your sake.
Fame makes you laugh and sometimes makes you cry. Fame makes watching television a whole new experience. Fame, Thursday night on NBC TV. Check local listings for time and channel.
Newsbreak. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News. The European community is cutting its food aid to Poland's military regime. I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS radio network. Since December 1980, the 10 nations of the European community have sent Poland thousands of tons of food at prices 15% below the world market. Today, the president of the European Commission announced this practice will stop. It is the first economic sanction by the European community as such against the Polish regime, although a number of individual members have stopped the shipment of food there. President Gaston Thorn told the European Parliament it is becoming more and more difficult to determine that food sent by the community was reaching the people who really need it. The moment has come, he said, to increase direct humanitarian aid to the Polish population, shipped through non-governmental agencies like the Catholic Caritas and the Red Cross. The Polish government is planning to raise food prices on February 1st, and the Catholic Church there is watching that and other actions. Bert Quint reports.
The hierarchy of Poland's Roman Catholic Church has written two letters that could bring a change in this country's delicate church-state relations. One is directed to Premier Jaruzelski. The other is to be read in Poland's churches on January 31st. Texts have not been made public, but they are believed to contain demands for an end to martial law, freedom of political detainees, and a resumption of the church-state solidarity talks aimed at national reconciliation that were interrupted by the imposition of martial law. They reportedly are couched in stronger terms than previous demands by the primate, Archbishop Glemp, for the restoration of civil rights suspended by the state of emergency. It is believed the letters go beyond any formal statement the church had made in the cause of religious or other civil liberties since Poland came under communist rule after World War II. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
More news after this.
You be the daddy, Zachary, and I'll be the mommy.
All right, Betsy.
I'm home.
Hi, Cupcake. How was work?
Oh, man, it's a jumble out there.
What's for dinner, Betsy?
Sauerkraut au gratin.
Blah! Don't feed me no rotten sauerkraut.
What's in it?
Spinach and zucchini.
Biscini.
Betsy, I'm a meat and potatoes man.
And try this, Zach. It's 20 more beef stew.
Mmm, that's no biscini.
Betsy,
You're a woman after my heart.
Treat your family to the hearty goodness of Dintymore Beef Stew, the real meat and potatoes meal.
Oh, Zach, I can read you like a book. Bet you don't know how to read. No, but I can look at the pictures.
The real meat and potatoes, Dintymore Beef Stew. The real meat and potatoes meal.
Yesterday, Soviet Prime Minister Tikhonov expressed pointed interest in normal contacts with the United States. Moscow has repeatedly proposed a summit meeting with President Reagan and President Brezhnev. Today, in an interview published by the Los Angeles Times, Mr. Reagan suggests that his first concern is arms control and that military preparedness is the real basis for such talks. He says the Soviet Union poses a dangerous military threat which compels the U.S. to build up its defenses. Increasing the defense effort, he goes on, offers the only hope of persuading the Soviet Union to agree to arms talks. The president also criticizes what he calls luxury living by Soviet leaders, saying they have abandoned the equality preached by communism and have created an aristocracy for themselves. There's more bad weather today. A surprise snowstorm dropped a one-day record of 17 inches on Minneapolis and St. Paul. In California's Sierra Nevada, two snowstorms in quick succession closed highways and prompted avalanche warnings. In the east, a smaller storm forced President Reagan to postpone a trip to Baltimore. There, he was to look at various projects to revitalize the city. The president will spend a working vacation on the Caribbean island of Barbados in early April. Deputy Press Secretary Larry Speke says that during the trip, Mr. Reagan will meet Barbados Prime Minister and possibly other leaders from the region. The president and his wife will be guests of a longtime friend, actress Claudette Colbert. Stocks and other news after this.
For years, your TV's been telling you what to watch. Now, you can tell your TV with the RCA Video Disc Player, the machine that plays video discs of great entertainment on your TV. Raging Bull, Rocky, Kramer vs. Kramer, Casablanca, comedy, concerts, you name it, you see it when you want to see it. An RCA Video Disc starting at just $15. Hey, it's your TV. Why not watch what you want to watch?
Buy the player now and get $50 or three video discs direct from RCA. Offer good only at participating RCA dealers through this February 9th.
Hello, Post Office. Got a question on your new 2-pound pack from Express Mail Next Day Service. You'll deliver 2 pounds overnight anywhere you go for $9.35? Less than most other people charge for just a few ounces? You wouldn't kid a veteran, would you?
Express Mail Service delivers 60,000 packages on time every day, and our 2-pound pack is just $9.35.
You son of a gun.
The Express Mail 2-pound pack. It lets you send more for less. Sponsored by your Postal Service.
The body of Lieutenant Colonel Charles Ray, the military attaché murdered in Paris this week, is being flown home today to the United States. Police in Paris have no clues as to the murderer. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average up 4.09, volume on the big board 20.5 million shares, the Dow Jones industrial average 849.98. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.